Hello and welcome to this very special episode of Boat Briefing, in which we are exclusively revealing the winners of this year's World Superyacht Awards. My name is Stuart Campbell, and here to help me uncover this year's treasure trove of Neptune winners is none other than Katya Damborski.
Hello, Stuart. Yes, I'm very happy to be recording this with you on Tuesday, but I think when you listen to this, it will be Sunday.
Yep, that's right.
So last night, the awards will have wrapped up in Venice.
That's some tricky tenses. Last night, the awards will have wrapped up. I didn't do grammar. My grammar's not great.
But I think that's correct, though.
Are you sure? Last night, the awards will have wrapped up. Any English teachers listening, can you get in touch with us, please?
Get in touch with us and put Stuart in his place and tell us that I'm right. But yeah, I think on the Sunday morning, when you're listening to this, Stuart and I will have probably a bit of a headache because there's usually quite a fun after party at the World Superyacht Awards.
Yep, that's right. So this year, it will have taken place in Venice. So we took over the Arsenale, which is the historic dockyard in a very historic city. So it all kicked off on Friday with a lovely welcome cocktail right on the Grand Canal. And then Saturday, it concluded with the awards ceremony itself in the Arsenale. I'm anticipating everyone to look fantastic in their black tie garb. I had to sew a button onto my dinner jacket because I lost one last year.
You use the same dinner jacket every year?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Must be nice being a man.
It does make it easier.
Last week, we talked about the boat Botox fund, but I think there actually needs to be a boat black tie fund.
Yeah, that'd be good, actually. Any sponsors interested in dressing me so I don't look like an 18-year-old at my graduation party, that'd be great. So, the World Superyacht Awards, what are they? So they are the most coveted, in our humble opinion, of course, awards in the superyacht industry because they are uniquely decided by a panel of superyacht owners. So our judges, there's a judging panel about 25 strong, all but two of whom are superyacht owners or former superyacht owners. So it's really the only peer-judged competition. It is the only peer-judged competition because most other awards are decided by journalists or industry professionals. And so they are very special in that if you win a World Superyacht Award, it is really the it's your peers as superyacht owners deciding that that boat is worthy of special recognition, which is fantastic. So Boat International, our role is we own the awards, obviously, and we manage them, we run them, but we have no say whatsoever in the decisions the judges take. Again, which is fairly unique, the independence and credibility of the jury is paramount. So we bear no influence over the outcome. Although I'm very lucky because each year I get to sit in the judges' meeting as a glorified, I just click through the slides basically while the judges talk. But it's fascinating hearing them discuss each nominee because sometimes they'll see things that I don't see and they'll say that works and that doesn't. Because obviously these people between them have hundreds of years of super owning experience. So they really understand how yachts are used in the long term, rather than me who gets a window every once in a while. So they are fantastically experienced and they really know what they're talking about.
That's interesting. And so aside from clicking, do you ever interject and kind of offer your insights and opinions, or are you literally just in the corner?
So it is actually written into the T's and C's, my role. If I am in possession of a piece of knowledge that might benefit or help the discussion, I am allowed to raise it, but you know there are pretty strict borders. So if I can never opine, for instance, if I say good or bad, that's crossing the line because that would be seen to be influencing the outcome. So if on the rare occasion I know something about a particular project or owner or backstory or whatever it might be, I can offer that for consideration, but I can't offer an opinion. Make sense?
Yeah, it does. It's very strict, isn't it?
It's very strict, but it has to be.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, any kind of perception of impropriety would kind of, damage the luster of the awards. So we have to be very careful about how we get involved. So there are various prizes up for grabs each year at the World Superyacht Awards. The big prize, the category winner, is going to Neptune, which is the big silver, really bloody heavy statue that people have to lug home. So people at the World Superyacht Awards who win multiple, you know, they can win a couple of categories, have got to take a few of these home and get them through customs and through airports. So it's great winning loads, but also a massive curse because these things are so heavy and they come in these beautiful boxes. It looks like you're carrying diamonds or...
Or like rolled up banknotes.
Loads of banknotes, so the Neptune's the big prize. The commendation, there's also some commendations awarded. So that's a boat that came very close to winning its category, but was pipped at the post by the ultimate Neptune winner. The judges also have discretion to award some special awards. So if a boat, there's one this year, so if a boat has excelled in a particular area, you know, technically or an innovation or some other reason, the judges can, at their discretion, award a special award. And the Legacy Award, which we'll get to a bit later. So that's the World Superyacht Awards.
That's the World Superyacht Awards.
Did you have a good night?
I hope so. I hope I haven't been fired at this point because, you know, there's so much prep that goes into this editorially and digitally. And you have to be like so on top of all these articles and you're always like so scared you're going to accidentally hit publish. Like my palm's sweating right now because I'm thinking about accidentally publishing an article too early. But let's hope I've still got a job. Let's hope the website looks good and everything's available.
Well, by Sunday we will have found out whether you had published an article early.
But don't even invite that thought in, Stuart, please. That's not my biggest fear about international.
And a big shout out, obviously, to the events team who pour their hearts and souls into this event. It takes a year to organise. It really does. It is a huge undertaking. So huge congrats to those guys for pulling off a spectacular, what will have been a spectacular ceremony.
Really tempting fate there, Stuart, since it hasn't happened yet.
No, it's going to be great. They know what they're doing. Okay. They're very, very, very good. So we're going to start with the refit category. Katya, can you reveal who won this year's refit category at the World Superyacht Awards?
I absolutely can. So it is 97 meter Carinthia 7 that won in the refitted category.
That's right. The big, big Lursen, 97 meter Lursen, took home the Neptune for refit for a pretty comprehensive change in a very quick order.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you go on board in Monaco?
I did, yeah. And yeah, it was that was my first ever time on board because obviously hither then, Carinthia 7 had been super, super secret and trying to get on board was like trying to get an invitation into Fort Knox. So the fact that she was open for visits was fantastic.
Yeah. One thing I liked when I went on board was how sympathetic they were to the original features. And I think the judges also touched on that. They said the original boat was iconic and it's still iconic. It's as fresh today as when it was born. And she was born in, I think, 2002. Is that right?
Yep. Delivered in 2002. Famously designed by none other than Tim Hayward. As we like to say, the nicest man in yachting. Yachting's greatest raconteur. always a pleasure seeing Tim. And so the refit was done at Lursen. They did a fantastic job. They added a bit of chunky swimming pool to the main deck and a few other charter-friendly features.
She's on with Fraser, I think it is.
Yeah.
Part of the Fraser charter fleet. And the interior designer is... Do you know how to pronounce this one? I'm afraid I don't.
Bisozero Cassina Architects.
Very good. If you just put an Italian accent on things, it kind of comes out a bit better, does it?
Bisozero.
Oh, okay. Good.
Cassina.
Okay.
That's I'm just aping our colleague Luca, who I think that's how he talks. So well done to Carinthia 7. A great victory in a category of six boats, some stiff competition. But the big Lursen won out.
All right, and then moving away from refits into the more comprehensive rebuild category, Stuart, who won in that category?
The winner in this very competitive category because there's some great boats in it was H3, the newly lengthened 105 meter Ocean Coast. So rebuild is obviously a lot more hot work involved in the refit category, you know, kind of tear downs and you know, rebuilds. I mean, the clue's in the title, but yeah, a lot bigger program of works than a refit. And yeah, H3 took out this. So H3 was lengthened quite considerably by Ocean Co. Completely redone on the inside, new exterior lines.
Whole new superstructure, basically. They really tore that off and started again, and they've done a really nice job with it.
Yeah, they have. I haven't been on board her, but the pictures, we have featured her in the magazine, and the pictures are unbelievable. Huge video walls and everything. It just looks like a spectacular yacht, and very famous one.
As one judge said, in terms of transformation, this is as good as it gets. So the people undertaking that transformation were Raymond Langton, Lateral Naval Architects, and the A Group stepping in on behalf of the owner.
So huge congrats to all those. And yeah, so the aim, I'm just reading the script here. The aim for the yacht was to face the future as a new contemporary vessel. In fact, Ocean Co. even like to refer to her as a new build rather than a rebuild. She's now IMO Tier 3. She had a comprehensive engineering change. Yeah, so a huge, huge amount of work done on H3. In that category also is Jester, the 68.9 meter explorer vessel, Niwal and Scintilla Maris. And I mentioned Scintilla Maris because she's been on the Thames.
Yeah, and you're a big fan as well, aren't you?
I'm a big fan because I love, it's a completely anonymous boat. You know, you'd never know she was a luxury yacht.
Yeah.
She still looks very much like a North Sea fishing trawler. So she's been on the Thames because she's for sale with Burgess, and they've had some clients on board. And last Thursday, or this Thursday, I'm going to go have a look around there myself and say hello.
So alongside the rebuilt yachts category, we also have classic rebuilt yachts.
Yeah, so the judges decided to break out these two boats because they were a bit special, and they're both classic sailing boats, and they didn't quite fit into the general broader rebuild category. So again, this is entirely at the judge's discretion. They can say, well, no, we'll remove those two and create a new category, which they did during the judging for classic rebuilt yachts.
And the winner is 36 meter Caryad. So do you want to tell me a bit about this boat? Because I'm actually not that familiar with her, but it looks like she was launched in...
She is from way back in 1896. And when her current owner picked her up, she was in a rotten state. So the rebuild was done in Thailand, unusually, and it really brought back a really beautiful classic boat to life. And so we can expect to see Caryad now competing on the kind of the Mediterranean classic yacht circuit, which is really exciting. And the owner said, I have always found it difficult to resist the call of history, especially when I am presented with the chance to preserve it.
That's really lovely.
It's a really nice sentiment, isn't it? And so that's exactly what he's done. He has brought back this stunning classic yacht to life in an unusual place for a classic yacht rebuild, Thailand. But the work's superb. One of our judges went on board this and had a good tour, and reported very favorably about the job that the owner did. So congratulations to Caryad and everyone involved in that project.
Moving on to sailing yachts, 30 metre to 39.9 metre. The winner in that category was...
Zemi, the Baltic, the 33.5 metre Baltic. Malcolm McKeon, yacht design, naval architect and exterior designer. And Andreas Martin Loff, architect, an unknown name in our world, but one I'm sure we'll hear more of, did the interior. You know, just a really well put together boat by Baltic. So huge congrats to them. So the owner's brief for Zemi called for a powerful sailing yacht that was easy to sail. So that sail plan combined with her twin rudders and 28 ton keel bulb provide an impressive amount of power. And she looks great.
Do you know where the name comes from?
I don't actually know.
It comes, I think, from the phrase zero emission. Zemi emissions, yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Because she is very green.
She is. I think the judges were impressed by that.
And hydro generation, which is becoming increasingly de rigueur for modern sailing boats. That's where the props counter-rotate to you know, charge batteries.
Oh, and, really?
Black Pearl famously has hydro generation, as do some of the other new yachts coming out of shed. So that's really exciting future. And Project Zero as well, which we feature, the Vitters sailing boat that is completely green, has hydro generation as well. And within this category, the judges pulled out one boat because they wanted to give it a special award, and that is none other than
Raven.
That's right, the foiling wunderkind of the sailing world. So this is a 34-meter boat, also built by Baltic. Exterior and interior design, both by Jarkko Jamson.
I love his design. I think he does such a good job. Doesn't he? He's doing some work with Swan at the moment, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Should be nice to see. And so what was the reason for this special award?
Well, it was hard to judge her against the other boats because she's not, you know, a typical kind of cruiser racer or straight cruising sailing boat. She's an exceptional performance machine, but the judges decided she did have a superyacht interior. See, boats have been removed from this class in the past by the judges because they say, no, it's just a, you know, it's a shell, it's a stripped out racing boat.
Mm.
But they decided in this particular case, the interior was superyacht standard. So she counts as a superyacht. Therefore, she can be considered in the category. But because she was so unusual and so different, but they wanted to acknowledge how much innovation was developed and the amazing sailing prowess and the fact that they stuck these two huge foils on her.
Yeah. Wow. So
they pulled her out. Yeah.
And I think we're seeing her in the mag at some point, aren't we? We'll get to see these interiors soon in print.
Yes, that's the plan. That is the plan. But she is an exceptional project. I saw her actually when I went up to Baltic last summer, and I couldn't quite believe what I was seeing when I was when the project was being explained to me. It was just unbelievable. And so the brief was they wanted to build the fastest thing on the water. So hopefully we'll see her around the circuit.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, staying on the sailing yachts then, now into the 40 meter and above category. Who was the winner there, Stuart?
The winner was the Royal Houseman yacht Sarissa, the 59.7 meter Sarissa. Again, big win for Malcolm McKeon Yacht Design. He did the naval architecture and exterior design. The interior was done by Liagra, who do amazing work.
Yeah, I was just going to say, they do a lovely job.
Yeah, they really do. So there were three boats in this category. The incredible new catamaran Art Explorer, which is on its kind of first med tour now, and Nilaya, another Royal Houseman, an amazing 47-meter sailing boat. But it was Sarissa that pipped them both. And it's no surprise, really. She's just a sensational project. And if you... paid attention to the Design and Innovation Awards that were announced earlier this year. She absolutely cleaned up. I think she took five awards home from the Design and Innovation Awards, which were given out at our event in Kitzbühel. So Sarissa, yeah, the judges, the World Superior Awards judges agreeing there with the BDA judges that this is an exceptional boat. Very deserving of her Neptune.
So I'm just reading what we wrote about her. And we said, each cabin is unique. Corridors gently curve. Stairs are set off the center line and the hull shape is visible, so you truly feel you're on a sailing boat.
Yeah, and that's partly because, well, a lot because the interior designer, Guillaume Roland from Liagra, is a sailor himself. He loves his sailing and he really understands how sailing boats work. So you got some real pedigree in the design package there. Well, obviously, Royal Houseman build a spectacular boat. You got Malcolm McKeon, who's an absolute pro, and Guillaume from Liagra, who similarly really knows what he's doing when it comes to sailing boats.
All-star cast, really.
All-star cast. All-star cast, absolutely. So let's move on to some motor yachts. So the first category we're going to reveal is semi-displacement or planing motor yachts, 30 to 34.9 meters. There were five boats in this class, but the winner was, Katya?
Pisa 2. Or potentially Pesa 2.
Well, I guess we'll find out when the owner's shouting at us.
Exactly. This is the 34.9 meter from Mayora, and I'm a really big fan of this boat, so really happy to see her get a win. One of the judges said, this boat impressed all of us, and it makes you scratch your head in a good way and wonder why you don't see more of it. I think that's because it's a really wide body design. But then it's also very, very speedy. I think it's 35 knots, almost 35 knots. So she's got hydrojets in the back. And then the interior is also really beautiful, kind of very ocean inspired, very natural, big windows throughout. So yeah, a worthy winner, I think.
Yeah, lots of volume in a 35 meter package. Mm. The superstructure is set right forward. And the interior pictures really belie the fact that she's only, you kind of think, how is this possible?
Yeah.
In a 35 meter package. But it's, you know, it's the way it's going. And Mayora have done a spectacular job on the fit and finish. And yeah, really, really, really well put together boat.
Yeah.
And a worthy winner of that class. Next up, we move on to semi-displacement or planing motor yachts, 35 to 39.9 meters. Again, five boats in this category, but there can only be one winner. And who is that, Katia?
It was Seaflower, the 36 meter Mulder. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the design of that, Stuart?
Well, this is there have been a few of these 36 meter Mulders now. Each one has been exceptional. I think the first one was Delta One.
That's right.
I think she was also a World Super Award winner. And Seaflower was built by an extremely experienced yachtsman who at last count had owned about a million boat, currently also a very large Fed ship. It's just a really good boat. Yeah, builder Mulder, the Dutch shipyard, naval architecture by Van Oosenen, exterior design by Clayden Reeves and Mulder, and interior by Vickers Studio and Mulder. So congratulations to everyone involved in that project. It's just a brilliant med boat, and that's why the owner bought this. He's got one kind of globe trotting boat that he sends off to crazy destinations all over the place, but he wanted a really solid, well-built, well-put-together med boat. And 36 meter from Mulder ticked those boxes. And she's stunning. She's very efficient, burning as little as 100 liters per hour when cruising at 10 knots. And she also, unusually for a 36 meter boat, is properly transatlantic. She has a range of up to 3,680 nautical miles. So congrats to everyone involved in the Seaflower project.
So should we move on to semi-displacement or planing motor yachts 40 metres and above? Who was the winner in that category, Stuart?
Out of the five boats in this one, it was Milele, the 45.2 metre motor yacht from Royal Hackvoort. Again, Van Oosenen doing the naval architecture on this boat. Amiga Architects did the exterior, and the interior design was a collaboration between the owner and Martin Hamp. So Milele's got this crazy feature. So the there's a big bow door kind of swings up, and that's where the submarine's kept.
I thought this was a boat with a submarine.
Yeah.
This is such a crazy feature. I think one of the judges said you'd never expect to find a submarine in that space. And by the sounds of it, that is an understatement. I mean, in the bow, that's wild.
There's a few crazy features. Actually, on Sarissa, I forgot to mention, there's a climbing wall. So the four-deck tender garage folds up, and there's, you know, handholds for a climbing wall. So this is another really unusual feature. Kind of beneath this hatch in the foredeck, the significant hatch is a submarine.
The judges said the yacht shows an understanding of what will age well, meeting her brief for timelessness.
Yeah, and it is a timeless looking boat. And as we know, Royal Hackvoort do a fantastic job. So congrats to Royal Hackvoort, Van Oosenen, Omega Architects, the owner, and Martin Hampf for that very deserved Neptune. Now we move on to the displacement classes. And the first one is displacement motor yachts, 499 gross tons and below, 30 to 39.9 meters. Four boats in this class.
So the winner is Selamar, the 35 meter from CDM, Cantieri Della Marche. The naval architecture on this boat is done by Hydrotech, and the exteriors and interiors are by Francesco Paskowski. I'm a big fan of Francesco and all of their designs, so this is no exception. The judges said the profile moves away from a typical explorer and has more of a Mediterranean look, which is interesting. Obviously, CDM is big on the explorers, but the judges are quite right. If you look at the picture, it looks very pedigree super yacht.
Yeah, it really does. CDM are just riding a wave at the moment, aren't they? They're doing so well. And yeah, I think they'll be out in force, or were out in force last night at the World Super Yacht Awards. Another, 35 meter boat with a huge range, 5,500 nautical miles. So, she definitely ticks that explorer box. And yeah, just a very, very sorted design and well put together inside. So big congrats to Cantier Della Marche, Hydrotech, and Francesco Paskowski.
All right, so we'll move on to displacement motor yachts, 499 GT and below, 40 meter to 44.9 meter. Stuart, take it away.
Another class with five boats in it. The winner was 40.8 meter Oreos, or Oreos, if you're a particular fan of that chocolate biscuit. But I think it's Oreos.
I think it is too, yeah. I don't think you'd name a boat after a biscuit.
I would.
Okay, yeah. Which one?
There's a particular Australian chocolate biscuit called Kingston's, or Tim Tam. No, my boat would be called Tim Tam. So Oreos, definitely not Oreos, was built by Benetti with naval architecture for Benetti, exterior design by RWD, and interior design by Benetti Kaczerski. So this is one of those Oasis deck Benettis, and I mean, they're sold like absolute hotcakes, so it's no surprise, I suppose, the judges were particularly attracted to this model.
Did Rebecca win at the World Super Awards?
Yes, she did. Yeah.
So they're really onto a winning design then with this.
Yeah, and this was a big the move into the Oasis deck and involving studios like Benetti Kaczerski, who are interior designers from New York, had never worked on boats before. They were found by Giovanna Vitelli because she wanted to kind of reimagine some of the interiors and exteriors of the Benetti line. And the collaboration with RWD has been fantastic because, yeah, like I said, these Oasis decks, the 34 and the 40s, have flown off the shelves. You know, it's quite a brave step involving people who didn't know, have much experience in the yachting world before, but it's paid off handsomely.
Yeah, clearly. So the judges called the Oasis deck a wonderful design that's rejuvenated the yard.
Yeah, it's definitely given Benetti a kick, isn't it? Mm. And keeps them on top of the global order book each year. So congrats to Benetti, the owner, RWD, and Benetti Kaczerski on that win in that class. Now, displacement motor yachts, 499 GT and below, 45 meters and above. Four boats in this one, but there can only be one winner, which was?
It was the Baglietto T52. So that's the 52-meter model from Baglietto, Francesco Paskowski on the exterior and the interior, and Margherita Casperini also lending hand on the interior as well. So this is a really nice boat. I went on this boat and actually wrote about it for Boat International, and the judges really liked the sun deck. They called it one of the best spaces on board.
Baglietto is always done well on the sun decks. They've always got massive sun decks.
Yeah, this one really does. Yeah, but they also appreciated the yacht's unusual aft deck design. This is what the judges said in their decision making, and yeah, I think a very worthy winner. She's also got a hybrid propulsion, which is a first for Baglietto, but then also a great range.
Good range and kind of almost a fishing cockpit down the back. It's not a fishing cockpit. I don't think it's designed as a fishing cockpit, but it's kind of very low to the water. So you feel very in touch with the sea and the environment around you. Another kind of iteration of an aft deck. It's quite interesting the way shipyards are reimagining the aft end of boats nowadays. So the beach club, the big enclosed beach club is almost feels a bit passe, especially in this class now. It's all about open air living, being close to the water. And the Baglietto, the after the Baglietto T52 is an exemplar, I think, of this new thinking.
Yeah, done a really nice job.
Bigger displacement boats now. Displacement motor yacht to 500 gross tons to 999 gross tons. This is getting to the business end, the big displacement boats. Three boats in this class, including the very unusual catamaran, this is it, which many of you will have seen at Monaco, Reliance, the Heesen, but the winner was?
The winner was Entourage, the 60-meter Amels, I believe the second hull in the Amels 60 series, so following off the back of Come Together, which was another very successful yacht, possibly also a World Super Award winner. So naval architecture by Darman Yachting, exterior design by Espen Oino, and interior design by Birdie Filek.
Yep, another very impressive boat from Amels. And again, talk about rejuvenating a series. These limited editions, getting Espen Oino involved has really rejuvenated that the limited edition series. And again, these 60 meter Amels have proven a huge success for the shipyard, and the judges were very drawn to her. They were impressed by the yacht's high quality build, technical excellence, and elegant lines, as well as the degree of customization done to the exterior. As one judge pointed out, this is a boat designed for having fun. Indeed, Entourage's owners put a premium on expanding the outdoor spaces on board for entertaining and enjoying time outside. So our colleague in the States, Cecile, had a look at this one and wrote the feature for us. And she's different from the first hull in the series. She's got a different window line, less trapezoidal and more kind of uniform long strips of glazing. And I really like what they've done. But it shows, I suppose, the customization available in the 60-meter package from Amels.
Yeah. And again, another boat with a huge, stonking sun deck on the top.
Yeah, massive sun deck.
All right.
Displacement motor yachts, 1,000 gross tons to 1,499 gross tons. Another category with three boats in it. The winner, Katia.
I feel like I'm announcing quite a lot of the winners.
I'll do the next one.
All right, okay. So this one was Alchemy.
That's right. The 65.7 meter from Rossi Navi, from Vitruvius Yachts, and with interior designed by Team for Design Enrico Gobbi. The judges loved this boat.
I can see why, to be honest. It's a really nice looking on the exterior.
But they did say there were three boats in this class, and they made the point that each one was, it was a very, very tight category. So in this class was 67 meter Sparta, which one judge said was the best Heesen he had ever seen. Pink Shadow, the 58 meter from Darman Yachting, the Explorer, and Alchemy, obviously, from Rossi Navi. And what the jury said, they could all easily be class winners. Pink Shadow was praised, and obviously we mentioned Sparta is an exceptional example of a Heesen, but Alchemy just edged it.
So I heard Alchemy is the largest Rossi Navi to have diesel electric propulsion. Is that right?
Yes, yeah, so a very efficient boat with pod drives.
But then she's also got the Vitruvius hull, which is also super efficient,
super
right?
Super efficient. She's long, lean, destroyer-like, and Philip Briand just draws beautiful boats. He's such a natural, and again, this is just another classic example of a beautiful Brion shape. Really elegant boat on the water, and Enrico Gobbi and his company have done a fantastic job on the interior. They said it was a near perfect boat, which is high praise indeed from the judges. But we should also mention that they decided in this category to award a commendation to Sparta, the 67 meter Heesen, with naval architecture from Van Usen and Heesen, and exterior and interior design from Winch. Like I said, one of the judges said it was the best Heesen I've ever seen. I remember when the results were being revealed in the room at the time, it was, you know, very, very few points separating Alchemy and Sparta. Because beautiful looking boat, Sparta, and sharp, cool, low slung, very Heesen, reverse bow. Yeah, it was unfortunate. In any other year, I think Sparta would have taken this, but she was up against some very stiff competition in Alchemy.
All right, so coming into the largest category, this is displacement motor yachts, 1,500 gross tons and above. The winner, Stuart, tell us.
Well, This was an Eastern Mediterranean shootout between two boats. Malia, the 77.7 meter boat from Golden Yachts, and the 74.9 meter Infinite Jest from Turquoise Yachts. So it was Turkey versus Greece, and I'm here to tell you that Turkey won. Infinite Jest from Turquoise took the Neptune in this particular category, displacement motor yachts, 1,500 gross tons and above. Naval architecture from Turquoise, exterior design from Valicelli, and interior design from Sino and Julie Hillman Design.
So this boat was our cover boat recently. She was shot in Antarctica.
That's right, because shortly after delivery, she went down with her chase boat Jester and navigated, well, we'll come to that in a minute, won't we?
We will. no, spoiler alert, but we will come to that in a minute. But she's been everywhere, because we saw her in Miami, or in Palm Beach as well. So she's a real world girdler, as it says here. And that pushed Turquoise Yachts to expand its capabilities and enhance its project management, meet a high level of specification, and find new engineering solutions.
That's right. So huge congrats to Turquoise for the Neptune in the biggest category.
And on that note...
Well, yeah, exactly. This kind of dovetails quite nicely with the next category, because the next category is Voyagers Award. So this is, I love this award because it awards people doing things that they should be doing with their yachts. You know, these things weren't built to sit in marinas or ports all year. You've got a super yacht, use it. And the Voyagers Award celebrates these great journeys by the yachts all over the place. And nominees are Infinite Jest, Jester, which run together, and Jura 2. Beautiful old classic, 36.6 meter classic. Did this kind of great trip up around Scotland.
A motor yacht or a sailing yacht?
Motor yacht. But for their exceptional adventure into the Antarctic, the winner goes to Infinite Jest and Jester, who ran in tight formation down to the Southern Ocean and further still. Amazing journey into the ice, and the photos are fantastic. In fact, the cover photo you mentioned of Infinite Jest was taken amongst the icebergs of the Antarctic.
So what's interesting about Jester is I believe she was also up for the rebuilt yachts category.
She was, yeah. She was in the rebuilt category, yeah.
So she was rebuilt at Pendennis earlier this year. She's the ex-Olivia, right?
She is, yeah.
And she was originally built by a Finnish shipyard.
Former Russian spy ship, no less.
Really?
Yeah. There's a great story about Olivia. Oh. She was built to spy on, I think, NATO movements in the North Sea and North Atlantic. She's got a great history, actually.
She's a great looking boat.
Yeah, she is. I'm a big fan.
And the original builder was Stuart?
A Finnish shipyard. I'm not going to attempt a Finnish accent. It's Oyoi Leivatio Lissus. I think I've nailed that.
Yeah, okay. Sure. Fine.
So last year, both Infinite Jest and Jester went down to the icy continent, navigated the infamous Drake Passage, and the judges recognized this trip as an ambitious maiden voyage to come straight out of the yard and head down to Antarctica. Yeah, what a shakedown.
Yeah, absolutely. It says here, the weather is highly unpredictable, there are no hospitals, and the cold temperatures can be unforgiving, so a vessel must be totally self-sufficient. Years of planning, surveys, shipyard modifications, and procurement of specialist equipment made this trip a reality for Infinite Jest and Jester. I really like the names as well, Infinite Jest and Jester.
They are very cool. So huge congrats to Infinite Jest and Jester for picking up this year's Voyagers Award.
So at the start of the podcast, Stuart touched on the Legacy Award, which is a really prestigious award that's given to an individual as opposed to a yacht. And I'll let Stuart explain a little bit more about it and also announce this year's winner.
That's right. So, yeah, each year the Legacy Award, we present some candidates, potential candidates to the judges, and they also bring some names of their own, and all kind of thrown into a hat, and each are discussed in turn. So ideally, the Legacy Award goes to someone who's had a massive contribution to the super yacht industry, has built boats, has had a positive impact, is a figure, a known figure in the industry, and has kind of moved the game on. And so previous winners have been Irvin Laidlaw or the Aga Khan or Jim Clark, you know, great names of our industry who have done spectacular things and built spectacular boats. And this year's winner, I'm delighted to say, is none other than Paola Trefiro, who many people will know. She's one of the most recognizable figures on the super yacht scene. You see her hustling around Monaco, the seas part for Paola. Everyone knows Paola with her bright shock of red hair. And she's been a World Super Yacht Awards judge for the longest time. But not only that, she's built some spectacular boats with her amazing husband, Salvatore, who I tell you what, he can move on the dance floor, Salvatore. He's also the fastest Italian over 90. Can you believe that?
I cannot. What do you mean fastest?
So he competes in sporting events, and I think he won. This race for over 90-year-olds in Italy, and he won the 100-meter sprint. He's in great shape and hell of a mover.
So you mentioned she's a World Super Award judge, but I'm assuming she didn't judge herself.
No, and I should have mentioned that at the beginning. Obviously, anytime any judge has an interest in the outcome of a particular category, you know, for relationship reasons, or they're involved in a shipyard or whatever it is, they have to recuse themselves. They've got to leave the room, basically. So they say, all right, you, out you go. We got to talk about this.
You, we talk about you
in this particular instance. And so, yeah, so there's obviously Paola couldn't vote for herself, okay. But it was overwhelming. The other judges thought Paola was a very deserving recipient. So she's been yachting forever. And there's a great story about her. So she started at university and just went through boat after boat after boat, and then bought the 40-meter Kokomo, and then started building boats of her own with Salvatore. Zafira, famously, a beautiful boat with Dubois design, and then built Rebelle with Vitters, and then latterly Mabel with Arcadia, her first motor yacht.
Is that her first motor yacht? Wow.
Yeah.
It's quite a recent boat, isn't it, Mabel?
Yeah, it is a recent boat. She's been competing on the regatta circuit forever. She's a great proponent of our industry. Great spokesperson, very visible, and a brilliant owner, just a brilliant owner. And she's a wonderful woman. Her fellow judges said Paola has built and sailed a number of spectacular superyachts and is well known and respected in the industry. She's a great personality, and through her long-term work as a judge, she's supported the industry in many ways. She is an icon, instantly recognizable and highly knowledgeable. And I should make that point. Paola's one of the most vocal judges in the room, and she finds points or details or elements of boats that sometimes the others miss. And everyone listens when Paola talks because her input is hugely valued and valuable. So massive congrats to Paola.
Massive congrats indeed. All right. So, oh no, that doesn't conclude. I was going to say that concludes, but
no, now we've got the biggies.
Okay, my gosh.
There are two more awards to give out, and they are the Best Picture Oscar. They are the ones everyone wants to win. They are, of course, Sailing Yacht and Motor Yacht of the Year. So these are judged by, these are basically a pool of all the category winners. So each category winner is taken out, put in another hat, and the judges vote on those category winners to decide the Sailing Yacht and Motor Yacht of the Year.
So you can't win this award unless you've won another category.
Exactly right. That's a much more elegant way of saying it. Sailing Yacht of the Year. Katya.
Sailing Yacht of the Year is Sarissa.
Sarissa.
The 59.7 meter, who also won in the
big sailing boat category.
Sailing yachts 40 meter and above.
That's right. So a massive win there for Royal Houseman, Malcolm McKeon and Liagra. They will be absolutely delighted with that one. It's a spectacular project and very worthy of winning Sailing Yacht of the Year.
Okay, and then, shall I do a drum roll? Dun da da da! Motor Yacht of the Year. Stuart, tell us.
The winner is Alchemy, the 65.7 meter Rossi Navi from Vitruvius and Philip Briand and Team for Design Enrico Gobbi. This, along with Sailing Yacht of the Year, is the really big one. And the judges just loved it. If you remember, they said it was the near perfect boat.
They did. They also said there's nothing not to like on this boat, which is high praise indeed.
Yeah, amazing boat. She was at Monaco last year. So those of you lucky enough to have a sneak aboard will, I'm sure, endorse the decision of the judges to give this boat the biggest gong in super yachting.
Do you know, it's interesting. I think, I'm not sure, don't quote me, but I think this is the first time in a while that an Italian-built boat has... Oh no, Kensho won.
Kensho won last year,
but before
year,
yeah. That, I think most of them were Dutch and German.
A lot of them were... Yeah, fantastic. Two wins on the trot for an Italian shipyard. And that brings us to an end. Thank you, Katya. How's the head? bit hangy after a big night in Venice?
Yeah, sure. A few too many Aperol spritzes, maybe.
Well, you were telling me earlier that's a millennial drink now.
I was, yeah.
But you are a millennial.
No, I'm not. Here
you are.
No, I'm not.
You absolutely are.
I'm not a millennial.
What are you?
Gen Z.
Are you?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I'm on the cusp, all right?
That makes me feel very old indeed. Well, much appreciated, Katya, for your help navigating through all these winners, these very worthy winners, I'm sure you'll agree. You can find if you want to read more about what the judges thought about the boats, the article is online now. We'll put the link in the description so you can spend a few hours having a read about each of these very, very special boats. And a lot of them have accompanying boat reports. So check those out too. A spectacular crop this year. So massive congratulations to all the winners of a World Superyacht Award in 2024. Thanks to our sponsors. Thanks to our judges. And the World Superyacht Awards is over for another year.
Phew.
Yeah, I know the events team. Actually, they can't take a break because we've got about 26 other events to organise. But the I can reveal, though, that we'll be back in Venice in 2025. So 2025... mark your calendars now. The World Superyacht Awards will be back in that most amazing city. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Thank you, everyone. And we'll see you next week for Business as Usual.
Business as Usual next week. Massive thanks to Adam Geest and Naomi Wilson for mixing and editing this episode of Boat Briefing. And thank you for listening and tuning in. We'll see you next time.